And I say to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, and dear parishioners, this is one of the well-known quotes from Holy Scripture, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. However, I believe the second half of this quote has often been misunderstood, where it says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it's important that we know what that means, the gates of hell. Obviously, it's a poetic sort of expression. And what that means is that, and this is, again, according to what past popes have said, it means heresy. Heresy will not prevail in the church. In other words, it would be impossible for the true church or a true pope to officially teach heresy, officially teach error, because then the church would have utterly failed its purpose. The papacy would have failed its purpose, because now it would be leading souls to hell by giving them false teaching. So you see then what the institution of the papacy is. We celebrate our first pope. And remember, too, that he was not made pope that day. This was about a year before the passion and death of our Lord. So what our Lord was doing, he was designating Peter to one day be the pope. So an important distinction to remember. You could say this is what happens, and by analogy, a president being elected in our country, he's president-elect, but he's not actually the president until Inauguration Day. And we know where St. Peter actually became the pope. It was after the resurrection. We're not sure of the exact day, but it was the day that Peter was fishing after the resurrection of our Lord, and they took in a draught of 153 fishes. That's significant, because there's 153 Hail Marys in the entire rosary. And it is then after our Lord said to him, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, after a threefold affirmation of love and loyalty to our Lord, then Peter actually became the pope. And shortly afterwards, Jesus ascends into heaven. Never forget, this is church teaching also, that the pope and our Lord together make up one head. We don't have two heads of the church. One head. I know that's a mystery. Jesus is the invisible head. The pope is the visible head. So when we think of the papacy, we're reminded of the principle of authority. We are reminded from Romans chapter 13, verse 1, all authority is from above. All authority comes from God. It doesn't come from below, it comes from above. Authority is the power and right to rule. There was already what we could call natural authority. The natural authority that parents have over their children, that's God-instituted, God-given. When the parents are raising their children until they are lawfully emancipated, the parents have that authority over their children. It's just in the very nature of the family, the authority is there. Also, the state has authority from God. As our Lord told Pilate, when Pilate says, "Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or release you?" And Jesus said, "You would not have authority if it hadn't been given to you from above." So lawful authority in the state comes from God. Now, in a republic, we are allowed to designate who that person will be that will hold the authority. But once we designate that person, we don't give the authority to that person. God gives the authority. He allows us to designate that person. And in the case of a true pope, God allows, actually he gives, he, well, the cardinals designate who will be the pope, and then God gives that authority. It doesn't come from the cardinals. I would like to call your attention to the fact that we have two flags in the sanctuary. Way over there by the St. Michael stained glass window is the papal flag. And even though we bewail or we lament the fact that there's not a true Catholic occupant of the chair of Peter, remember, we must believe in the papacy. That institution is from Christ, and it was instituted to govern the church, to lead the church safely and infallibly. So we will always keep the papal flag in the sanctuary. Over here, we have the United States flag. And it seems a little bit of a surprise. Isn't this kind of mixing politics with religion? But in 1911, Pope St. Pius X, at least, well, the Holy Office under his guidance, gave a ruling that here in the United States we could have the flag in the sanctuary, not because we're mixing politics with religion, but we are being reminded that all authority comes from God. That our rulers, if they're duly elected, have authority from God. And we respect that. And we're also reminded of the virtue of patriotism, that we should love our country. That is a virtue to practice. So with this coming 4th of July, we celebrate Independence Day. But let's not forget by whose power temporal rulers rule. And yes, they are capable sometimes of passing evil laws, and evil laws do not bind. Remember the early Christians, they were put to death because they would not follow evil laws, such as you must adore the emperor, you must adore the false gods. Saints Peter and Paul were put to death because they would not follow evil laws. They were Christians. The higher law must prevail. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. So that's the significance of the two flags in the sanctuary. So obviously our Lord had to institute or bestow authority upon those that would rule in his name. Otherwise, without authority, any organization just falls apart. And what we have to do as traditional Catholics, we don't look to the modernist heretical church for what to follow, what to adhere to, but what the church taught prior to Vatican II. And we see this unbroken, beautiful link of teachings and rules and laws. And remember, that's true unity. Jesus gave four marks to his church: one, holy, Catholic, apostolic. If the church were to lose those marks, it would cease to be the church. And even in our difficult times, traditional Catholicism possesses those four marks. Unity of faith, that's the number one thing. Unity of faith. We may have all kinds of different likes and dislikes, temperaments, but we believe the same things. That's the beautiful unity of faith that's not found in any other religion. Of course not, because this religion is God's. It was founded by God. You know, one of the worst errors, I believe, of Vatican II is this false ecumenism that began to be practiced. We now have to dialogue with everybody and figure out where we're going to go now. No, the Catholic Church already possesses the truth. As Pope Pius XI put it so beautifully in his encyclical on ecumenism, he spelled it all out, and then Vatican II contradicted his teaching. He says, we've already realized that unity of faith. Jesus prayed that they may be one. Well, Jesus' prayer was not ineffective. It was fulfilled. That's the beauty of the Catholic faith, unity of faith. And it's not pride. Of course, we're going to be accused of that. You Catholics pridefully think you have the true faith. It's not pride. It's truth. It's reality. So this beautiful unity of faith is there. Never forget that. Unity of worship, we have that also. We have unity of, you might say, the legal unity by the fact that we follow the same laws of the church. So on this Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, we reflect upon these two tremendous men. One, the first pope, who also gave us two epistles, and then St. Paul, who gave us 14 epistles. Let us remember that they were exercising authority in the church by their teaching and their ruling. St. Peter, more by his ruling, and of course he taught as well, St. Paul especially by his teaching. But St. Peter was the true pope, and even St. Paul acknowledged that. Let us ask ourselves, what is my attitude towards the authority of the church? Do I humbly submit and accept and believe all that the church teaches, all of the exhortations the church gives us in its official capacity, its rules? And in submitting to that, we submit to God. As our Lord said to the apostles, he who hears you hears me. Let us be loyal sons and daughters of the church. We humbly acknowledge that we've been blessed so much more than countless others to have the Catholic faith, to have Catholic bishops, Catholic clergy, Catholic religious, Catholic parish, Catholic school. And is, yes, difficult times indeed, but remember, Jesus is always there, and he will be there, as he said, until the consummation of the ages, until the end of time. Saints Peter and Paul, intercede for us, help us to grow in our faith and our loyalty to God and to his holy church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.